Hollywood, that screwy ballyhooey Hollywood.
That hooey Hollywood. 10 minutes after 2 on WGN, I'm Steve Dales, Steve Dales' Other World, and I'm so excited to have the legendary actress Ruta Lee on the telephone. Hi, Ruta.
I am so proud and honored to be with Steve Dale, the voice of Chicago, one of my favorite cities in the world. Thank you, thank you, thank you for sharing your wonderful audience with me.
Well, thank you, thank you, thank you for all of the great years of entertainment you've brought us. Now, for folks who don't know, there was this movie called Funny Face with Fred Astaire and Audrey Hepburn. Tyrone Power's Secret Love and Witness of the Prosecution. That is this lady, Frank Sinatra's leading lady in Sergeants 3. The television shows. Oh, my gosh, I could not mention. We would be here an hour if I mentioned all of the television shows from the 1950s through the 1980s, not to mention all the stage shows, the awards you've won, co-founding the Thalians, and that's where I'll start. You know, if you're not from L.A., not from Hollywood, you may not know what you and Debbie Reynolds did way back in the day to make a big difference. Before, these days, movie stars, and it's probably a good thing, step up and say what their views are and help in all sorts of different ways. However, back then, it wasn't a big thing. You made it a big thing.
Well, I was very proud of the fact that I didn't join the Thalians until after about the fifth year. But Debbie Reynolds was one of the founding members, and she and a large group of young Hollywood types got very tired of being called hard-drinking, pot-smoking, sex-minded asses who had nothing to contribute to society, which is the rap that young Hollywood then had, and said, you know, we get together to hang around the piano and sing and have a few drinks. Why don't we put something together, sell a few tickets? And they thought it was a great idea. So they sent out Jane Mansfield and Mamie Van Doren, the two bazoom ladies,
back of the
to
day.
Go yep. look for a good charity. And amazingly enough, they came back to the next meeting and said, well, all the good diseases have been taken. And they found a man, a doctor, who was dealing with emotionally disturbed children. And he described an emotionally disturbed child as a rotting apple in a barrel that can affect the entire community if not serviced and taken care of. And so the Thalians became the foundation that was dealing with emotionally disturbed children. We later assumed the title of Hollywood for Mental Health because we built the first building that went in at the big Cedars-Sinai complex in Los Angeles. And it was our multi-million dollar building called the Thalians Mental Health Center. And for 60 years, we were the Hollywood Kleeglight, the spotlight that shone a light into that dark abyss known as mental illness and hopefully bringing it into a light of healing. And we did miraculous work from pediatric through geriatric care.
And, you know, back then, Ruta, people just didn't talk about something like that, you know, and as you point out, and you were one of the first to do that, you know, I mentioned all those movies going back more than a few years, so that means you've been around more than a few years. I'm going to be really rude, but I, you know, when you're of a certain age, you can say what you want on the radio, so can I ask you?
Of course you can. Of course you frigging well can.
What's your language, Ruta? Can I
you
ask?
Said when I'm of an age, I could say anything I wanted.
Almost anything.
I am 85 going on 86 next month.
I would say.
And I'm very proud of the fact that I'm still walking and talking and singing and dancing and doing whatever has to be done. And now what I'm so proud of, I might tell you, my dear Steve,
yeah,
is that we have switched our allegiance and our focus at the Thalians from just general mental health to the mental health of our returning veterans, those beautiful young men and women who are very willing to put their lives on the line every day for America, and yet when they're injured, either mentally or physically, they come back home and fall through the cracks. And we Thalians are doing something about that. We joined UCLA's Operation Mend. Operation Mend heals the broken and fractured bodies of our returning veterans. We Thalians try to heal the broken mind and spirit of these beautiful people. And I'm very proud of us for what we're doing. And I invite all of your listeners, who are the most generous people in America, we Americans, to, if you have a few dollars extra, go to the Thalians, thalians.org, and you'll read all about us, and you can donate $5, $50, $500,000. It will gratefully be accepted and used for our beautiful young returning veterans. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart. And as the title of my book says, consider your ass kissed.
There she goes again.
I really mean it if you send me some money.
Well, you know what? You can help me out here, Ruta. Can you say you're on WGN? We'll be back after this.
We are the one and only WGN, and we'll be right back after this message.
I love her voice. She promises to watch her language, but I do want to dish a little here with legendary actress Ruta Lee. So I'm going to rattle off some names, and as some regular listeners know, I did get to know Lucille Ball, and there was one show you were in with Milton Berle. Now, what I know is Lucy never broke character, but at the end of this one particular program, as you played the ingenue, if I remember right,
yes.
and Lucy thought, oh, that Ruta Lee's having an affair with Milton Berle, and that wasn't really the case. You were rehearsing for some movie, but she thought in the rehearsal, by hearing only the rehearsal, that you guys were having a little more fun than she would have expected. So at the very end of it, Milton got a salad over his head, and he did what Milton Berle did. He did all his shtick, and it was so funny as the salad dressing went down his nose and up his nose and all that. And you guys seem to be having more fun on that episode that you typically don't see, as I say. You don't see Lucy come out of character. So what was that like?
It was such a big laugh that I very honestly have to tell you that I didn't exactly pee my pants, but I did piddle. It was so funny. And I crossed my legs. I did everything to keep from laughing. And when darling Milton made with his fingers windshield wipers on his glasses to get the Thousand Island salad dressing off, needless to say, it was great fun. Of course, you're working with huge, wonderful international stars. And Milton became a very good friend. Lucy had already befriended me in many ways, and I did lots of her shows. But the best part was that when I asked her to be our Thalian honoree, she accepted. When I asked her to chair a City of Hope event where I was being honored, she accepted. She was always one of the great dames in Hollywood, and I say that with such love. Milton, on the other hand, was outrageously difficult to work with because he knew what he was doing, but oh my God, he was funny, and I adored him, absolutely adored him. And of course, his wife, Ruth Berle, was in it as well. So we had, that was one of the most favorite episodes I've ever done of anything in television.
Really? And you've done everything, it seems, in television. I mean, you look at this list. I've got a list in front of me. It goes on for like pages of the shows.
Speaking of lists,
yes.
I want a list of all of your commercials. Every single one of those products that you talked about, I can use. From the Greetine windows to the Menards to the decking. Jesus, I can use it all.
I think so. Well, tell me about Frank Sinatra.
Oh, wow. Frank Sinatra changed my life in many ways. I was fortunate enough to be invited to see Frank Sinatra when he was appearing at the Macombo. All the nightclubs in the 50s were suffering terribly. Television had come out. Nobody was going to the nightclubs anymore. And the owner of the Macombo, promised Frank a great reception if he would come and play. So he decided he'd play a week, then Dean Martin would play a week, and Victor Moan would play a week, and whoever, Sammy Davis, and we'll see if we can't get business going for the club. And I had been invited by a very good friend from here in Palm Springs to see Frank Sinatra, and he had the front table of about 10 or 12 people. And Frank's orchestra filled the entire dais, I mean the stage. So Frank was working on a small little dais in front of the stage directly above my head, and I was staring up at Frank. And I don't know if you've ever seen Frank in person.
I have.
But there's nobody like him. He's absolutely mesmerizing as a performer. His songs and renditions are just captivating. And fade out, fade in, a gentleman had been watching me from around behind Frank because everything was so full in the club that night. And he sent a note over, and my host took me over to meet him, and he said, "My name is Arthur Hornblow, Jr. I'm producing a film called Witness for the Prosecution, and I have just given you a most unique screen test. I watched you watch Frank Sinatra,
what?
And I think you would make a great love interest for Tyrone Power in my movie. Would you come and meet with Billy Wilder?" And I said, "Is tomorrow too soon?" And I came in, and they put me on film for a few minutes. Marlena Dietrich saw the film and said, "Nick Nine, forget it. She's blonde like me." I became a brunette overnight, and that's how I got to be the leading lady to Frank, not to Frank, but to
Tyrone Power.
Tyrone.
Now, there's all kinds of things that have been said in Hollywood about Tyrone Power. He's not listening now, I don't think. Tell us.
No. But I write a little bit about that he was exceedingly good friends with one of the dearest human beings I've ever known in my life, and that is Cesar Romero.
Hmm.
And so as to how much was true and how much wasn't, I wasn't there. I can't tell. But I know that they were very good friends. But I also know that Cesar Romero was one of the kindest, most gentlemanly gentlemen I've ever met in my life. And I'm so happy to say that he was a good friend right until he left to meet his maker. And wherever he is, I wish him all the best, and I hope God's arm is around him.
Tell me about Ginger.
She got the part that I tested for. Why? Because she has big boobs, and I have none.
And that's how she got the role, you think?
That's how she got the role. That's the way it went. And I don't blame her, and she was beautiful. Tina Louise, lovely, lovely girl. And, you know, she was gorgeous, and I do envy her the role because she got to spend a lot of time with our American audiences, and I'm so honored and pleased to have all through the years, whether I was on a series or guesting on a show, and I did over 2,500 starring roles on television. The fact that anybody turned on the set because I was on and didn't turn it off was a great honor to me. The fact that people bought a ticket to see me in the movies or bought a ticket to see me in theater across the country. I'm so honored and grateful. And when my book title came up, and George Pinocchio, who is the red carpet man for ABC television, everybody knows him, does the Academy Awards,
sure,
and
everybody,
everything.
Everybody.
He said to me years ago, he said, "Ruta, if you ever get that book of yours written, use that title because it's an expression that I use constantly to thank people who were generous to me, whether it was in my career or whether it was in my charity and giving me money for mental health. I would say, please consider your ass kissed." It was the sweetest, kindest, most heartfelt thing that I could say. And all I can say is, if anybody gets a little uptight and Victorian about using the word ass, remember, our beloved Jesus rode into Jerusalem on his ass. Well, if he can do that, I can kiss it.
You are wonderful. It is such a pleasure to talk to you. Yes, that book is available on Amazon. So if the title can be on Amazon, I guess we can say it on the radio.
Do you know that I am now the second hottest book on order for Amazon?
Really?
I think that is the most exciting news I could have had, and all I can do is say, thank you, God, thank you for guiding me through this. And I think audiences will enjoy the book because it's not a self-aggrandizing book. It's just tidbits that from my life that made it fun and interesting, and some of the wonderful people that I've met and worked with in my life, and a little bit of gossip about everybody, and that's kind of fun.
Well, I think you are more than just a little bit of fun and more than just a little interesting. Rudy Lee, thank you so much for the many years of entertainment. Will you promise me to talk to me one more time at some point?
Is tomorrow too soon?
Maybe. Thank you, Rudy Lee.
You know, I have a million Lithuanians there in Lithuania, so that's my background. So labas to all of them, and may God bless you, and thank you so very, very much for the opportunity to say hello to so many lovely people.
Muchas gracias. Thank you. Thank you, Rudy Lee.